Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, another song I'm not really supposed to talk over too much. But, you know, again, sports talk show.
You know, it's Eric Clapton's birthday today.
Ooh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday. E. Clapton. Show to camera. Anyone ever call him E? Is he like Eric Lindros?
Probably.
Like, yeah, what up, E?
The big E? Show to Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP.
Today's show is brought to you by the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or visit parkscasino.com/PA.
All right, we'll do a deep dive on the Phils with Ben Davis joining us in just about 2 minutes. Let's go to the phones right now with Brian in Philly. Hey, Brian.
Hi, guys. How you doing? First-time caller.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Brian.
John, I can't give you the credit for this one, though. It's all Joe. I get in my car. I cannot believe his argument for the offensive line. I can't believe it came out of his mouth as an argument. Joe, sorry, but if Lane Johnson was in front of you or Barrett Brooks, you wouldn't tell him they stink? And that's your argument?
Well, maybe Barrett Brooks, but not Brandon Brooks.
All right, so, Joe.
I'm just joking.
No, I'm with you, John. I don't know how you do it every day, John. I don't. So, Joe, let me ask you, if Mike Tyson comes up in front of you today,
yep,
or if Joe Conklin's in the next room and he imitates Mike, and he asks you if he can still fight, what's your answer?
He can fight better than I can. I mean, is he going to be the heavyweight champ? Of course not. Of course not.
So don't, please. I give you credit, dude. Don't get down this road. That's bad.
Well, but Brian, I think, you know, here's a frustration point I have, Brian. When we're having this discussion today, everyone acts like, well, Russell Wilson is better skill position players in Seattle. And certainly from a receiving standpoint, he does. That's accurate. But what about the line? I mean, if the Eagles' line is healthy, they can be a real plus again. I believe that. I guess you disagree, and that's fine.
No, I do to an extent, but then you fall back on Russell Wilson and Tom Brady. Again, they're just two totally different people. One's taller, much better leader with the teams he's had. He's proven it twice now. And I just think the hits that Russell's taken, it's not, but again, your argument just didn't work. I couldn't believe that.
Okay. Brian, give me the use of a song in a movie.
I don't have one. Sorry. You made me call with this.
All right, man.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks. Brian.
Look, the offensive line was terrible last year, and I understand you're saying, yeah, but they were all hurt. It was unprecedented, the number of offensive line combinations that we had. But you can't say they're automatically good now. You can't say after what we saw, which was Carson Wentz making bad decisions, scrambling for his life, followed by Jalen Hurts making bad decisions eventually and scrambling for his life, that you are secure in this idea that it's going to be a clean pocket all of a sudden.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we got to see it. We got to see it.
Those guys that you're depending on and saying that, yeah, look at Lane Johnson and our right guard, Brandon Brooks. They're back. They're healthy. They're good to go. They're older. They are surgically repaired. Brandon Brooks has been surgically repaired 2 years in a row.
Yep.
I hope he's good. I hope he's ready to play and not get hurt. I haven't seen it for a long time.
Yeah, no, I get it. But I would also say, to me, it's not just about, and I focused a lot on those two for obvious reasons. They were two of the better offensive linemen in football. We wonder, hey, can they get back to that spot if they're healthy? But to me, it's also, John, I didn't think the line, and maybe I'm on an island totally by myself, I didn't think the line in 2020 was as bad as it was perceived to be. I really didn't. I think a lot of it was Carson holding on to the ball. Now, were there times like that Jamon Brown game that was a joke? Was it rough having 12 or 13 starting combinations? That was tough.
But then you saw Jalen Hurts doing the same stuff. I mean, the pocket would collapse immediately.
But he was also...
You cannot tell me that was good offensive line play at the end of the year when Carson wasn't in there.
But I also
think... It was the same stuff.
But listen, I believe the instructions for Hurts were, you know, 1-2, run. 1-2, run. Half the field and run. I mean, I don't think the offense was presented to Hurts in a way that he was supposed to be in the pocket and span the field for 5 seconds.
His
going
play
five
got worse
I know
with
did.
Every game that he played because he lost faith that he would have protection. That's an issue.
Right, we'll see what everyone thinks. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Andy. We're waiting for Ben Davis. We expect to talk to Ben Davis soon. Let's go to Andy in Deptford. What's up, Andy?
Yo, what's up, guys? How we doing?
Doing well, Andy.
As far as this whole Russell Wilson thing, just a pipe dream, man. If we had the equity to make the moves, which we probably do, you got to remember, this guy's got a no-trade clause. Why would he want to come to the Eagles when we're definitely in a rebuilding process? He ain't getting any younger. He wants to win now.
Well, why does he want to play for the Bears?
That's a good – I don't know, but that's a good question. I don't know if he was ever really wanting to go to the Bears, but that didn't happen. But why would he want to come to Philly?
No, but I guess part of my point, Andy, first off, he might not want to come to Philly, so you could be right. And our understanding is the Eagles were not on an original list, and that's notable. But I also think it's notable he hasn't been traded yet. So if he's unhappy and the team that he's with, Seattle, is maybe considering trading him, maybe, and talking to maybe those four teams, and obviously Dallas is off the list now because they signed Dak to a stupid contract. I mean, at some point, he might have to move off his original four and go to another two or three. And if he does, the Eagles could climb into that.
Do you really think he's unhappy, or do you just think he wants more money?
I think he's unhappy. I mean, he ripped his offensive lineman, which I thought was really bad for him. And there's been enough out there, including his agent dropping comments, that, you know, it's impossible to know exactly what's going on behind the scenes, Andy, but he seems unhappy.
But we know all those guys were trashing him on their way out. And now he wants to be the coach? I mean, you're a player. You're not the damn coach.
Well,
you're a player.
I agree.
He wants to dictate the offense? Oh, man.
Yep. I'm with you on that. Andy, give me a great use of a song in a movie.
Okay, what about in The Bronx Tale, Bart scene with the bikers, when they lock the door, now you can't leave, the Beatles come together.
Yeah, that really was very, very good as they're about to brawl. Good stuff. 215-592-9494. Well, we have Phillies baseball, John, and just... 2 days, we're going to hear an umpire scream play ball. We're actually going to have some fans down there. I plan on being there on Thursday. It should be a great time. And the Phils rolling out a lineup on Thursday, competitive division. Haven't made the playoffs since 2011. And he'll be doing a great job for NBC Sports Philadelphia again for another baseball season. We always love talking Phillies baseball with our buddy, Mr. Ben Davis. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing great, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You excited, Ben?
I can't wait. Being after the year that we had, as a country and as a world, just to get back to some type of normalcy, having seen butts in the seats, it's going to be great. I just cannot wait till Thursday.
All right, Ben, let's start with what I think is kind of the thing that will actually be the key. I mean, the start could be the end, good or bad. Does this Phillies team have the pitching to make the playoffs?
Yes, they do. And I know a lot of people probably don't agree with me, but I would take their 1-2-3. I love the mixture of Nola and Wheeler and Eflin, and I think the additions of Matt Moore, who's a lefty, is going to change the dynamic of the rotation. And I liked what I saw out of Chase Anderson in spring training. So I think they definitely have the starting pitching, and without a doubt they have really secured this bullpen and solidified this bullpen. They made all the right moves in the offseason with regards to pitching. And I think, Joe Girardi has a lot more options now to go to in that bullpen.
You say you like what you saw from Chase Anderson. What did you see that you liked, and what should we expect from Matt Moore besides being a lefty?
Yeah, Chase Anderson, what I liked, every time the Phillies face him in the recent years, I've liked what I've seen out of him. He's got a fastball that he can throw a straight one at the top of the zone. He can sink it. He can cut it. His best pitch is his changeup. He's got a decent curveball to throw early in counts, and I kind of like a get-me-over curveball. But I love his fastball-changeup combo out of Chase Anderson. I really, really do. Matt Moore, like you said, John, being a lefty, adds a different dynamic to this rotation. And I think, you know, he's a guy that still can be in the mid-90s. His changeup has gotten a lot better. He's got a big curveball and will cut it in underneath the hands of righties. So I really liked what I saw out of him in spring training as well. I just think that they really have put the puzzle together a lot better than what we've seen in years past.
Is the Jose Alvarado hype deserved? Is this real? Everyone's talking about the 100-plus mile-per-hour pitches coming out of spring training. Is it legit?
It is. I mean, it is legit, legit. I sent out a tweet. We did a game, I guess, about maybe a week and a half ago, and Alvarado came in the game. The first guy hit a double down the right field line, actually bouncing the stands, ground rule double. He struck out the next three guys, all on fastballs. The last pitch he threw of the inning was 101, and it went straight down. It went straight down, John.
Wow.
And I'm looking at this, and I actually tweeted out. I said, the last pitch was 101, and it went straight down. That's all I have to say for now. I mean, it was like, what the heck was that? It's fun to watch. Not fun to catch. I don't miss those days. But it's legit. It is definitely closer stuff. I don't think he will be closing, but Joe Girardi has another option should Hector Neris or Archie Bradley fail in that closer's role.
From NBC Sports Philadelphia, Ben Davis with us right now, 2 days to opening day. Ben, let's talk the lineup and hitters. McCutchen, number one. Who hits second? How do you think 3, 4, 5, 6 stacks up? We've seen different uses of Harper in his time here. Where do you think they stack this up?
Oh, I think you're going to see, much like you saw in yesterday's game, I think you're going to see McCutchen at the top, and it's great to see him being completely healthy. He looks tremendous. He really does. He looks great. I think you're going to see Hoskins in the two-hole. If we're up to me, Joe, I think my top four would be McCutchen, Bohm, Harper, Realmuto, and then Hoskins. That's just me. Mm. You can even put Segura in that two-hole. I think he'd be a good spot for it. But they like Reese's on-base percentage, like the way he can see a lot of pitches and set the table kind of there at the top with McCutchen. So I think you're going to see that. And then getting down towards the end of the lineup, you're going to see Segura, you know, whoever the center fielder is going to be. Probably on Thursday, it might be Roman Quinn. They're going to get Max Fried from the Braves, who is a lefty. I think you might see Roman Quinn in there in the starting lineup. And then you get down towards the bottom there, and you know it's going to be a special lineup, and they're going to see a lot of pitches, and they're going to score some runs.
Ben, is 3 years from now, and I know it might even be sooner, but 3 years from now, is Alec Bohm known as a baseball star?
I think he will around here. I don't know if it'll be a national thing unless he starts hitting a ton of home runs. I don't think that's really his game plan. I think he may grow into a guy that could possibly hit maybe 25 to 30 a year. This guy is so consistent, and I cannot be more impressed. I know salivating, you know, every time we did a game in spring training about him, but the guy does not change his approach. And that's something you don't see out of young hitters. I remember if I ever did something good in a game when I was young, and believe me, that was few and far between, I thought I had to make it better, right? If I hit a home run 350, I thought I had to hit the next one 375. He doesn't do that. He stays within himself. He stays with the same consistent approach. Throw him away, he'll hit it away. Throw him down the middle, hit up the middle. Throw him in, pull it. He's just that good. He just doesn't change that approach. Will he be a household name? I don't know about that because I don't know how many home runs he's going to hit. But the guy can flat-out hit, and I look for him to be a perennial 300 hitter.
Do we have enough in center field with the combination of Adam Haseley and Roman Quinn?
That's a million-dollar question, John. right now, I'm going to say no. I wish I could say yes, but I'm just trying to be honest with you guys. Mm-hmm. I just haven't seen enough out of them at the big league level to be consistent and to be productive at the big league level on an everyday basis.
Ben, is the nation overlooking the Phils right now? I mean, I think a lot of us around here feel they're better than a 500 team. That's what they're projected to be. They're in a tough division. They might not win it. They might not make the playoffs. But it seems nationally people are sleeping on the Phillies. Do you agree with that?
I agree 100%. You know, everyone's talking about the additions that the Mets made and the perennial powerhouse that the Braves are and their youth and their pitching staff. And rightfully so. This is the best division in baseball, and it's not even close. The NL East is the best division in baseball. Don't forget about the Nats. I mean, they've made a couple additions as well, and we all know what the Marlins have done and the fit that they have given the Phillies the last couple of years. So I think, yeah, people are sleeping on the Phillies. But I think that the Phillies, they just seem to have this calm about them in spring training. Like, okay, keep talking about the Mets. Keep talking about the Braves. We're going to wait until April 1st comes, and then we're going to show you what the fight in Phil is all about. They just seem to have that inner positive confidence about them this year, and I think they're going to turn some heads.
How do you grade Joe Girardi's managing performance last year, and what do you expect on that front this season?
Well, I think Joe did a great job last year, despite the injuries, despite the historically awful bullpen. I mean, let's face it, his hands were tied when he had to take the starter out of the ballgame. They scored a lot of runs last year. They blew a lot of leads. And, you know, there just wasn't a guy down that, other than Jose Alvarez, that he could really turn to. And then it was Jose Alvarez who was on the shelf. It was not good last year. And I think, you know, Joe Girardi, I'd take him, you know, 10 out of 10 days to manage any ball club that I was a part of. So I think he's got a lot more options. He's got a lot of versatility, John. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that's going to only help him manage this team even better, because he can, you know, pull guys and insert guys in different situations, different spots on the field. He has that versatility. It's only going to help him be a better manager.
Ben Davis with us. You know, Ben, a lot of decisions to be made around here. Most often about who to play and when to play him, and that matters most. But we as a show need to decide if I am going to, again on Thursday, opening day, wear my fantasy camp, Phillies fantasy camp uniform. Seems to give people a chuckle. They tend to make fun of me, people like that. But the Phillies have missed the playoffs the last 2 years after I've worn the uniform on opening day. What do I do on Thursday, Ben? I mean, wear it or don't wear it?
Joe, I think you got to wear it. You being the consummate professional that you are, I think it shows your loyalty not only to the city but to the ball club and
yes.
fan base. I think it's a no-brainer. I think you have to do it.
Absolutely.
Just as long as you don't go running over anybody at home plate, okay?
Well, yeah. I mean,
we don't want to cross that bridge again.
No, we don't. But, I mean,
I set that up with Ben.
What?
Ben playing catcher and you trying to run him over?
Ben, you weren't the catcher up there in Abington in 1994, right? I just want to make sure.
Oh, thank God I wasn't. I wouldn't want to see that freight train coming in there, Joe.
I would have been like Ray Lankford, Ben. I hate to say that because that was one of the worst shots on Dutch ever. But
yeah, that was bad.
That was really rough. So, Ben, you say I should wear it on Thursday.
I think you wear it. I think you definitely wear it just to show your loyalty to the ball club. And
yes.
I think it's a no-brainer.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
I like it. I mean, I'm hearing
there you go.
Seltzer says it's been a bad omen. They were, you know, whatever. But we'll figure it out. Ben, have a great, you know, call throughout the season. We love talking Phillies baseball with you and look forward to hearing from you, obviously, for months to come.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks so much. I can't wait, and go Phils. And April 1st, Thursday, cannot come here soon enough. So I appreciate
Amen.
You having me on, guys.
All right, there
Thanks,
he is.
Ben.
You got it. Ben Davis from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Joe DeCameron, John Rich. Yeah, we got to make the decision. 215-592-9494.
Today's show is brought to you by the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or visit parkscasino.com/PA.
Speaking of uniforms, John, look who's on the line. This is the fine fellow that made the decision. Listen, I am not sure I can agree with his decision, but I can say God bless the dude. He bought a jersey customized with the last name DeCamera on it. He's got uniform number 9, which is my Phillies fantasy camp uniform, obviously in honor of the great Roy Hobbs. And Jeff is with us on the line. I think John might want to interview this guy. Jeff, fine job, my man.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Now,
the key question is, and I know John wants to ask it, but I'll ask it, what were you thinking?
Well, you know, they don't make township ball jerseys. I couldn't find a township ball jersey, so I had to go with the fantasy camp. You know, it was a great way to honor one of the greatest collisions at the plate in township ball history.
Ooh, so. I like this.
So, do you regret the choice?
No. So it turns out, John, you were actually part of it on St. Patty's Day. I was actually wearing a John Ritchie jersey.
Oh wow!
And my buddy,
this devalues the whole story. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Now, why do you got to go do that? I thought it was special here, Jeff. I thought I was special.
Well, let me tell you, Joe. It's kind of like a
collector's
a,
item, one of tens available.
One of one available. Yeah, I mean, I had to get it.
That's great.
Did you?
And when I say hammered, I mean hammered.
Yeah. So, did you remember ordering the jersey the next day?
I woke up and it said Fanatics order confirmation, and I said, "What did I do?"
So, Jeff, will you wear this jersey around town at a game, or is this only like sort of in your basement?
Oh no, this is being worn.
Wow.
Well,
bold choice.
If you're wearing it on Thursday, I'm wearing it on Thursday.
We're gonna decide tomorrow.
Sounds like you need. Yeah, this is a pact. You can make the deal right now. Jeff, this is perfect.
I'll do whatever people decide. The reality
Blood
is.
Blood Brothers.
So far, it's 3-1. I mean, you're saying wear it. Seltzer's. John Ritchie's saying wear it, and Ben Davis is saying wear it. Seltzer's saying don't. So I think we're going to need more votes, but I'll wear it if people say to wear it.
We got to wear it.
Wear it proudly.
I think it's only right.
We got to wear it.
I like it. Jeff, I like your style, my man. Stay in touch with us. Thank you. And I hope you don't get too much scorn. Too much scorn walking around town.
Yes. What's your song?
I've had the time of my life, Dirty Dancing.
Oh.
Look at this guy. Oh,
I can't believe you did that.
Jeff, wonderful.
I'm on a roll today.
Thanks, Jeff. Stay well, man.
I need Mike Reese jersey.
Yeah. No, you don't want that. No.
It's classic.
No. All right, Jeff. Good stuff, man.
Thank you, guys.
Right, thank you.
How about that? Wow. That's that was a heck of a call right there.
Something is what it was.
That was something. I agree. All right, let's talk to Alan in Villanova. What's up, Alan?
I knew you were going to put me after him. This is going to be a tough thing to do. How you guys doing?
Doing great, Alan.
It's a wonderful, wonderful show. I'll get real quick because I know you got a lot of people. One, Russell Wilson. I side with John Ritchie on this one. I don't think we need him. I don't think it would make any difference. I want to see what we have with Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
I don't think I agree with John Ritchie 100%. We are not just a quarterback away from really being in a position to compete. Number two, Joe should wear the jersey, no doubt about it. I agree with Ben Davis on that. Now I have to take a shot at Joe. Real quick, your comment about acting being overrated. I just can't believe that. But do you apply that to theater also? Do you apply that to these actors?
No.
On Broadway?
No.
Do 8 shows a week?
No.
You have to be on every single show. Do you apply it to that also?
No, let me tell you what I apply it to. When someone can say, cut. All right, let's do it again. And then like 30 seconds, cut. All right, let's do it again. And then all right, that one was pretty good. All right, we'll keep that's where it applies. It's absolutely not theater. It's nothing live. It's when you can just do a redo. Of course that's overrated. Do a redo.
Yeah, but it also, though, what you forget, and even in movies, I see your point on cut, recut, retake, and all that.
Yeah.
I looked back to sports, but, you know, a lot of these films, they're done out of sequence, and a character maybe have to film a scene that's maybe 3/4 into the movie and has to act like some scenes that he hasn't even done yet have happened. So you're forgetting a lot of nuances and things like that.
Yeah, know the script. Know the script. You'll be fine.
I see your point. Okay. song in the movie. Because we have baseball coming up, I thought I would make a baseball-related comment that also in the movie also touches on the fight that you still have with the robot and the robot. And that would be, this used to be my playground, the closing song to A League of Their Own by Madonna, who was also in the movie, obviously.
Oh.
It's a beautiful song, and a lot of people don't even get to see it because when the movie appears on TV half the time, if it's not an uncut cable version, they roll those.
They fast roll them.
The credits over it. But what's funny about that scene, and I'll let you go, getting back to the argument point, the very last scene in the movie, the elderly women are playing a game, and the pitcher throws a ball. The umpire calls it a strike, and the batter starts kicking the umpire, and she says, that was clearly a ball, was clearly outside. And the umpire made the comment that relates to your ongoing debate. He says to the batter, yesterday that might have been a ball. Tomorrow it might be a ball. But today it's a strike.
I like it. Alan, great stuff, man. Call us through the baseball season. Thanks, Alan.
Bye.
Right, thanks,
good
Alan.
Stuff right there. Hey, coming up, speaking of baseball, this goes back about 2 weeks ago. I heard something on WIP. Something really stood out to me with the Phils. Personality. Sounded like this guy's a cool dude, and he's going to be an important member of the Phillies. Archie Bradley. Something he said. This goes back about 2 weeks ago to Angelo in the morning. I loved it. What he said. And what you make of it, we'll talk about it next. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, you'll hear what Archie Bradley had to say on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.